Hey guys, what is going on? Welcome back to a brand new TAT pod sponsored by Sporting In. Make sure you get involved in our group chat with the link down in the description to join. You know, an amazing like conversation where we all have honest conversations every single game. We give player ratings, talk about transfers, team news, all that kind of stuff. So make sure you get the best football app. You can look at the league tables, scores, fixtures, everything you need all in one app. So Sporting In. Down in the description, join the group chat and all that good stuff. So once again, I am joined by my good friend Shakes. How are you doing, mate?
I'm very well, sir. I'm very well. A pleasant surprise on was it Tuesday or Wednesday we played?
Tuesday.
A pleasant surprise. Yeah. Sunday brings, but I am well, thank you. I am well.
Good, mate. And yeah, well, we have to cast our minds back to Tuesday, and we will try and get the podcast up as pretty soon as after the games as we can. But obviously, when it's like two games a week and it's nighttime games, it's not always easy. Obviously, everyone's got different things going on. So just bear with us and we'll always get the podcast up. That is one thing we do promise. But let's cast our minds back to Tuesday and we'll touch the Tottenham game. We're going to talk about a couple of things that are floating around transfer-wise and, just talking all things Liverpool. So if you're watching this, make sure you get involved with the comments. And, let's get straight into it, mate. So casting our minds back to Tuesday night. Not going to lie to you, mate. I don't melt down when I see lineups. I'm not one of those people that say, "Oh, we're going to lose this," or this is an L incoming. I'm not one of those guys. But when I did see this lineup, I wasn't confident. I wasn't confident at all. Milner in the midfield, Jones in the front three, and we'll talk about Jones in a bit. But I wasn't confident. Obviously, Napoli unbeaten. I think 15 wins or 14 wins and two draws.
13 wins, yeah, 13 wins and a bounce.
Yeah, and they come to Liverpool who, like I say, they've put out a few, they've made a few changes. There's not really too much riding on the line for us. We're already into the last 16, both sides. So I just thought, you know what? I'm not too confident, but I'm not bothered. If we lose this, it doesn't really matter. But I was surprised, Shiggs. I was very surprised with how we played. And I'm not going to sit here and say it was a perfect performance because it wasn't. There was still a lot of things we could have improved on. But I was very happy with the way we played. And the first half I felt was a bit scrappy for both sides. It was a bit end-to-end. We had the better chances, undoubtedly. There was one from Curtis Jones, the Thiago one from outside the box. So I think we had the better chances. But I was just happy. And there was one main reason why I'm happy. And we need to talk about this guy. We're going to talk depth.
Go on.
But the difference... Ibrahim Konate, mate.
Bro, beastly.
It's night and day, isn't it?
You see how much more confidence the team has when he plays. Like, that Osimhen, did he didn't, what do you call Konate didn't play against Napoli at their ground, did he?
Don't think so.
No, it was Joe Gomez, yeah. Do you see the way that he just took hold of Osimhen?
Yep.
Like, don't get me wrong, Osimhen gave a good account of himself. That guy's a quality player. But it's like Konate said, "Nah, you're not. I'm not letting you do anything today. Closing down, getting in the ball early. Like he was our best player by far, and he set the tone from early. There was one tackle, there was one 50-50 ball that they went for, outsprinted us a man and said, "Nah, this is mine," and they just took it away calmly. Like, and you see the level of confidence that he brings because he's so. He's a unit, but he like and I'm referring back to the Champions League. Even the final that we played, he was the best. You know what I mean?
Like he didn't deserve to lose on that day. The performance like, he should have won it, man.
I didn't mean to bring it up to be a sour point, but I was just bringing it up to say, look, against elite opposition, it's him that's standing out, not Van Dijk. And this is not a dig at Van Dijk, but he just shows the levels that Gomez is not at, unfortunately. And it's not a dig at Gomez. It just is what it is. Like, he, a touch when he doesn't get injured. Because when he plays, the team, even though the team doesn't look like it did before, it just seems a lot more sturdier.
Yeah, 100%. He's so calm as well, like, with the ball. Like, with Gomez, it's like... well, we saw it against Leeds for the first goal, just a wayward pass. Mm. I'm not saying Konate never misplaces passes. I'm sure he does, but he's just so much more calmer on the ball. And when he's got the ball at his feet, I'm confident that, you know, he's going to keep it or he's going to pass it off.
Yeah.
But look, again, we're not. This ain't a dig at Gomez. We've spoken about Gomez's performance.
This is more to big up Konate.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not going to sit here criticizing Gomez because we've done that enough over the last few weeks. And this, yeah, you're right. This is just us saying how good Konate is and how lucky we are right now to have him back. Because what was he? 35 mil. It could go down.
But yeah, 36.
We could look back on that transfer, mate, as one of the best we've done.
And he's only 22.
22. There we are. So. Oh, it's 23. Yeah, just it turned 23 this year, but still, like that's a kid for a centre back, isn't it? So
definitely.
Look, very happy to have him back in the team. Like you said, we just gotta kind of wrap him up in cotton wool right now because
the problem is that we need him, so we can't. That's a problem. There's no Gomez for all his he's a good defender. He's not, unfortunately, at the moment, he's not the same level as Konate. Konate's him and Alisson are probably the first two names in the sheet, and we along with Thiago and Salah.
Yeah, no, I agree. The big dog Konate is about to pocket Kane, says Ilyas. Hopefully, man. I mean, look, Konate's got a handful of top players that he's locked up, so it wouldn't surprise me if Konate starts on Sunday and he has a really good performance. But look, he's an incredible football player. You know, last season we saw it as well when he first came in, just fitted in so easily, like he'd been here for years. And I think, like you said, him and Virgil, when they play together, it's not like Virgil's, he is a lot better. Like, I'm not gonna this right now, he's not, but he's a far better player right now. But when they play together,
do you think it's a trust thing?
Yeah, he definitely trusts him. Yeah, 100%. But I think Virgil trusts Gomez as well, to be fair.
Okay.
But I feel like when Virgil plays with Gomez, he knows he's got to do more.
Yeah.
But when he plays with Konate, he might think, oh, you know what? There's basically like two of me now. Like, obviously, not as good. But that's basically what it's like, having two of him, which when Virgil does move on, and let's be real, he's what, 31 now? 30? Yeah. I don't know exactly how old he is. It's going to come in the next 3 years, probably.
Yeah.
We're going to have Konate at the age of 25 ready to take over him. And then obviously we have to find somebody else, but you know, just getting Konate to that level whilst Virgil's here is, you know, going to be
a big thing.
Massive for us in the future. Yeah. So anything else, mate, in that lineup? I mean, we'll get onto Curtis Jones in a bit. I want to have a conversation about him, but yeah. Well, how do you think the first half panned out, mate? I know I said it was a bit scrappy, but we had the better chance. How did you used to it?
It wasn't nothing to write home about, but it was competent. Like, it wasn't, they didn't do anything stupid. They didn't give Napoli any room to do anything that would cause us any issues. They were very compact, very tidy, kept it simple. It's a little bit frustrating in terms of they've done that for Man City, they've done that for Napoli. Mm. It's just like, It begins to feel like a mentality thing that they can do it for these games, and when it comes to smaller teams, it's just they lack that same kind of aggression and concentration. I don't understand it. I thought the levels were set from the beginning, but it seems that levels drop when we come back to the Premiership because we think, oh, we're going to beat them anyway. I didn't see, like, against Leeds, our midfield was so open, and then against Napoli, they were cutting out spaces left, right and centre. I don't understand how that's possible.
You know what it is? I feel like our game, and this is, again, I don't agree with this, but I just think the way we play is better suited to teams that will try and play against us. Like, we knew Napoli were going to come to Anfield, try and get a win. You know, that would be one of like their big things that they talk about, winning every game in the group, still being unbeaten, going into the knockouts.
Yeah.
City obviously doing the same. They're going to try and come and play and beat us. But when you're playing against Nottingham Forest and Leeds United, even though Leeds, it was more end to end.
Yeah, but Leeds weren't setting up shots.
Yeah, but I just feel like when there's more space for us, we'll be fine. And again, I don't like that our performance is based on what sort of team we're playing. We should always be looking to win games. And I get there's so much negative about that, and there is a negative side to it, but maybe this team's just better suited to knockout football this season. And maybe we're going to have to try and salvage something to get top four. And if we can kind of somewhat rescue it, I'm not saying, I have said before we're going to win the Champions League, but even if it's like an FA Cup or a League Cup and top four, if that's a bad season, then it's not disastrous. So
yeah,
obviously I won't be. If it's the Champions League, I don't care where you finish in the league. But
yeah, that's fine. But I don't.
If we get top four and win one of the domestics, I'm not gonna sit here and say it's an incredible season or a successful season for us and our standards. Don't get me wrong.
No, I wasn't even gonna say that. I just think the top four is, well, you know what?
You think it's done?
Yeah, I don't think, because we're
really?
Yeah, I don't think we'll get top four. And you know me already. I'm not the type of person to give up the goals like that. But I just, there's too much inconsistency in the team for the, and there's too much ground for us to make. Well, how many points are we off at? 9, something like that?
I'll have a look. I haven't looked at the league table in a long time.
Yeah, bro, I haven't either. Not worth the torture.
8 points. But we've only played 12 and Newcastle have played 13, so...
Maybe. The thing about it is that we're so inconsistent.
Yeah.
Sunday's game will be a good indicator on whether we can get top four or not. Because we haven't...
Will it, though? Because that's another big team that we're going to probably turn up against.
Tottenham are a good team in the fact that they don't open up. They sit back, and then hit people on the break. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what we do against them.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get on to Spurs in just a little bit. But second half, mate. I think it was a lot better, yeah. Still creating chances, still having the best of moments. But... The game changed, mate, when a certain player was substituted onto the pitch. And this is a player who, here on TAT, we've always backed and we've always supported him and we've always seen how much potential he's got. But a lot of people, Darwin Núñez, just didn't ever give him a chance.
He's like Marmite to some people, bro.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. But I don't see, like, if you look at his stats, he's got a goal every 104 minutes. I think he's got like 9 goal contributions in however minutes he's played, but his minutes played is nowhere near what we would have expected. Obviously, because of the red card, the 3-match ban, he had a little hamstring issue, I think. So that's already 4 games that he's not played. He's only played 743 minutes, and he's got 7 goals and 1 assist. And yeah, and that game, mate, he came on. Not even the goals, by the way. He obviously played a huge part in the goals, but there was that moment where Alisson plays the ball up to him. He rolls the defender and then he plays it across the box and Mo Salah misses it by this much. And that was incredible. And if Salah put it in the back of the net, everyone's like, whoa, what an assist. And then obviously the first goal, Salah's goal, he wins the header, keeper saves it, Salah taps it in. Second goal, Virgil wins the header, keeper saves it. Is it going in or not? I don't know. But Núñez is there, right place, right time to make sure it goes in. So what is it with him, mate? Why are people so harsh on him?
You know why people don't like him is because he's not pleasing under eye. He's more substance than style. People want to see silky touches, laying off kind of like nonchalantly. Like he does sometimes let himself down. It's like when sometimes he does the harder stuff easier than he does the easier stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it just people don't like it. And I'm just like, forget all that. Forget all that. As long as he does his job, the guy comes on and makes an impact every single time. Like, every single time we played, even though if he hasn't scored, he's come on and done something whereby, okay, you know what? He helped to score, got an assist. Like, he just... There was something on, I don't know if you, there's I can't remember what channel is it. Is it CBS? I don't know if you've seen the stuff on YouTube where Henri, Carragher,
Michael
Richards. And Henri was saying, it's just like, when you come to a big club and you don't get to play every week, you kind of like, not nervous, but you want to please every time you want to play. When he gets the confidence of knowing that he's playing every week and he learns to calm down a little bit more in terms of when he's in front of goal, when the ball comes to him, and he doesn't have to feel like he has to impress every 20 minutes, every single time he gets a ball, I think that's when we'll see the best of him. Not to say we don't see the best of him now, because look at his goal-scoring record. The guy comes in and scores. I don't really listen to what people say on Twitter, because Twitter is an echo chamber. Like, the guy scores goals. His job, if you were to look at his remit as a striker is to score goals. The touches, the layoffs, the build-up play, that's secondary. And that will come. He's only 23, 24.
Yeah, 23.
That will come. The hardest thing is to score goals. That's 100%. The hardest thing to do. And the guy, every time he comes on, he's a threat. You see it. Like, as soon as he came on, the game changed.
Yeah, 100, straight away. You're right, mate. He's raw. He's 23. I said this in the last stream was in, like, this guy came to a Liverpool team that isn't firing on all cylinders. If this Liverpool team was the same team, I know we still were really bad in 2021, but that was for many reasons. But Jota came into a team that had just won the league.
And was banging in goals.
Yeah, 15, 20 goals in that first season. And he had a big injury as well in that first season. So that was really impressive. And everyone was like, oh, they're incredible numbers for a new player. But Darwin's come in now to a Liverpool team that isn't firing on all cylinders, that isn't functioning. And he's got 7 and 15, and they're not 15 full games. So he's probably projected to get 20 goals, to be honest. He needs 13 more goals. And I think I said on my channel, mate, when we signed him, I think I said to you, if he gets 20 goals in his first season, then that's a job well done. That's people, you know what it is? I think players like Mo Salah and Erling Haaland have made people think 20 goals is just anyone. Yeah, but if you look at players like Wayne Rooney, he barely ever hit 20 goals a season. Like maybe once, twice, three times, and that's over a 15, 20-year career. Yeah. So 20 goals, if Nunes, I'm not saying he will, I think he definitely can get 13 more goals. Yeah. So if he does get 20 goals in his first season, what is the fuss all about? Because like, you're hitting the nail on the head, mate. People want step overs and flair. And it's not, this Liverpool team is lacking fundamentals right now. Yeah. We don't need all of that stuff.
Get the basics down, son.
All we need him to do, and all we need anyone else to do, is put the ball in the back of the net. Everything else comes after. Like when Luis Diaz is back and he's doing no look passes and stuff like that. Great. When we're winning, that's absolutely fine. But right now, we need players to get that ball, put it in the back of the net. And like you said, mate, that's what Darwin seems to be doing. So if he starts on Sunday, well, he definitely will start on Sunday. I think he'll cause Spurs a lot of problems.
I don't know if I want him to start.
Oh, no, he's got to start.
But here's my point. It's not because I don't think he's good enough.
I know what you mean, the defensive style to Tottenham.
Yeah, and just, no, not even that. He just, when he comes on, he changes the mold of the game.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. We'll get on Spurs in a minute, mate. I just want to talk about Curtis Jones for a sec, because I know you've got a strong opinion on him. So, thoughts on him? I mean, to be fair, mate, I don't think he was bad on Tuesday night.
Yeah, let me not... He's frustrating because I think there's a player there, but he just... I don't know what it's going to take to get out of him. Like, there was one incident in the second half where we were breaking and the ball came to him. Instead of him to turn and just play the ball forward, he did all this step holding the ball up, step holding onto the ball too long. It's like, bro, there was no need for that.
Yeah.
Touch it, get it, control it, play it on, because there was no one on him. And it's just those little things are the things that kind of just, like, get annoy me, because that. There was one point in the first half where he did some quality. He had two players around him, and it's just like, why is it it's the same thing as Nunes? When he's in a difficult situation, he does the hard things well. Then when he's in an easy situation, it makes it more difficult for him. So why?
Yeah, no, I hear it. But my thing with Jones here is, I agree with you. Like. All we need Curtis Jones to be is a good player, a squad player. He's never going to be in the plan to start for Liverpool week in, week out.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
But you need a run of games.
Yeah, 100%. But the thing that I don't understand is, why does every single player in the squad have to have the highest of standards? Like, yes, we want our players to be the best they can be. Absolutely. But... Mm. I just want Curtis Jones to be Curtis Jones. And by that, I just need him to be good enough to, when we rely on him, when we need him to play on the wing, when we need him to play centre mid, because of these situations where we've got no players, like, just be fine. And okay, a few times this season he's come on and has been poor. I'm not denying that. But I think and not from you, by the way, you don't do this, but a lot of the hate that people have for him, I think is very unjustified. Yes, we can easily improve on Curtis Jones, 100%. But all we need him to do is be a good squad player. And I think he did play okay on Tuesday night.
He did. Incredible.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not sat here saying he's really good. But I just don't get it. And when people say, oh, he's only there because he's Scouse, well, Oxlade Chamberlain is literally from Portsmouth and he's still at Liverpool. So what? How can that make any sense that we're... If people think that we employ football players because they're Scouse, then we'd still have John Flanagan here. We'd still have Jordan Rossiter here. We'd have all these... Like, you know what I mean? Like, these guys would have stayed around for 5-10 years if we just wanted our players to be Scouse. So that thing annoys me, first of all. And then the stuff he gets on social media, whatever your opinion is on him, like, fair enough. Like, football is an opinionated sport. You can say what you want. Don't at the guy. Don't reply to his tweets calling him a dead baller. These guys see everything. Like, you can not rate him as much as you want. That is absolutely fine. I would have no issue with somebody that sat here telling me, oh, he's not good enough, we need to get rid of. Fine. Fair enough point. But when you're then tweeting and when you're applying to, when he's put a picture up after the game, like, that for me is where it crosses the line. And I know nobody that we have on TAT would ever do such a thing to a football player. But I just think the hatred people have for him, a young player, 21 years of age, is too far. You can, like I said, your opinions, everything you've said is justified. Not just now, but before. Like, we don't really know what player he is. He doesn't know what player he is. That's fine. But there's a way to do it. There's a way to talk about things. And yeah, I just don't like some of the stuff I see about him.
But you got to realize, bro, Twitter is a toxic place. And because these people will never see these players face to face, they feel that they can. They absolutely can say what
they'd get a picture of him. If they see him in town, they'll get a picture of him. Yeah,
this is what I'm saying. So it's not consistent. Everything I'm saying now, I would say, you know, I don't mean to sound bad, but I said it to his face. You know what I mean? Like, it's not personal, but I'm just saying what I see. And sometimes, and you know what as well? Sometimes people have their own problems in their life and they choose to take it out on footballers because that's the only one bit of joy that they get and you're taking it away from them. To go back to Curtis, the problem with Curtis is that it's a double-edged sword because he doesn't get enough games to be able to grow into the role that he wants to do. And then when he's called upon in a short space of time, he himself is trying to figure out what the team needs while the team is still struggling to find out what they need. So he's trying to get caught in the matrix kind of thing. But then like I said, Tuesday's game, he played well. Like, there was a couple of chances where he could have done better, but he played well and he did his part. Now, is for him to kick on and start playing, and whereby he's that driving force where he is a goal scoring midfielder. Or I think him coming off the left was good for him because he can use his trickery and go up players and then cut inside and maybe take a shot and stuff like that. So while we've got these injuries in terms of for Diaz and Jota, he's got the perfect opportunity now to kind of stick a claim in to say, yeah, let me play more and more. Now, I don't think he will start against Tottenham, but who knows? He might. And if he does, that's another vote of confidence for him to come out, go out and do something. Facts. I think the more and more he plays, the better and better he'll be coming. I think that continuity, when you get 4, 5, 6 games under your belt, you kind of get into the flow of how the team wants to play and then you're able to do your own thing. But it's difficult.
I think the cups will be big for him. Obviously, we've got Derby coming up next week, I think. So, obviously, I'd assume he'd get 90 in that. So that would be big for him. But yeah, I agree. It's just, obviously, when everyone's available, he's not really going to get a sniff, maybe from the bench. So I know what you're saying.
Quick question.
Go on.
What did you think of Ramsey when he came on?
Yeah, really good. I was impressed from what I saw.
Yeah,
so seems that. very confident.
Little on the turn on the
yeah, yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So this is where this guy's been hiding, man. Okay. Yeah. I think... From what I've seen, obviously, he's been playing with the under-21s to get his fitness up and to get him up to scratch. And he's been scoring goals and, like, doing all kind of madness. And then, look, it's under-21s and he was signed to play for the first team. So
he's got to do it. Yeah,
exactly. You can see the technique on him. Like we said, the confidence to just come on and do that against Napoli for an 18-year-old right-back. It's it's quite interesting. So again, the Derby game. Hopefully, we see him start. I can't imagine anyone else starting. Maybe Gomez might start right back, but
he's surely going to start centre back.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. But yeah, we are into the next round, mate. We already knew this before the game, anyway. So this isn't new. But what we do know now, mate, is our potential opponents, and they are as follows: Bayern Munich, the return of Sadio Mane to Anfield; Benfica, the return of Darwin Nunes to Benfica; Porto, the return of Luis Diaz to Porto; or Real Madrid, the rematch of the Champions League final. So, look, listen, let's not kid ourselves. We're all begging for Porto. Like, let's not beat around the bush. They are our whipping boys in the Champions League. I was looking at our head-to-head record with Porto. I think they've never beat us, and we let me get it up now just so I can.
We battered them every time we played them.
I think they got two draws.
Yeah,
but then the rest of that is Liverpool wins. So yeah, that's definitely who everyone wants, isn't it, mate?
It pains me to say it, but I think we're gonna get Bayern. I don't know why.
Oh Lord. I'll tell you why, mate, because they're gonna put the balls, they're gonna make them hot so that Mane comes back over so they can tell stories, mate. That's
the whole thing is gonna and to be honest with you, I don't want to face Madrid, bro. Is that
way. Listen, that all these people thinking they're cool saying bring on Madrid rematch. Yeah, you said the same thing last time.
Yeah, no, I don't need
there's
to
no
see
rematch,
them.
Man.
I don't need to see that.
There's no vengeance. We tried it.
Nah, I don't need to. But I got a feeling we're gonna get Bayern. I just got it written in the stars, bro. Especially with Sadio. I just feel it. If we don't get me wrong, if we get Porto or Benfica, I'm happy. If we get Madrid, I'm pissed.
You know what? Benfica are looking a bit crazy this season. You know, I think they might be unbeaten.
We love an unbeaten run, bro.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. I'd take them, those two over anyone, but Benfica, I wouldn't like. I think last season when we got Benfica, I was sat here saying, oh, we're into the next round. This year, I don't think I'd be as confident to say that. I'd still say, okay, I think it's better than the other teams, but we still have to go and play the game. Whereas last season, I was like, oh, we're through. Saying when we got Villarreal as well, I was like, oh, easy. Final, let's go, but this year's different.
I would prefer us to get Porto, but I've got a feeling we're going to get Bayern.
Listen,
I don't want Madrid. I'm saying that
the fact of the matter is, mate, if we're serious and if we do want to use this competition as an opportunity to rescue the season, we have to beat the best.
We
got a relatively easy run to the final last season, so surely he's gonna. Yeah, it might catch up on us, mate. But the draw is Monday. I believe it's like 11 a.m. or something. So we'll be talking about that and Sporting in as it happens. So make sure you get in the group chat, the link down below. And the Reds will hopefully be on the way to quarter final. But mate, Sunday, Tottenham. How you feeling, mate? It's a bit strange, isn't it? Because we've had this a few times this season where Liverpool have gone, beat a big team. Everyone's confident again, and then it comes crashing down. So
it's going to be, it pains me to say, it's going to be either a draw or a loss. I don't see us beating them. I don't trust this team in the league anymore. I don't trust them. I don't. Is Son injured?
Son won't be playing. I think they're without Bentancur
as well. Son.
Yeah, I think Kulusevski's back, but Deese is quietly confident for Spurs with Ibra back and then potentially missing Son, Bentancur. Kulusevski, I think they said today that he's probably going to be back. Romero and Lucas Moura being out.
Oh, so they have to play Sanchez and Dier in the back line.
Yeah.
Oh, we might win then. We might win. That Sanchez is trash.
Get Darwin Nunes on these guys, man. Honestly. Honestly, man.
Nah, but I don't want to just start. He's got to be the ace in the hole. Bring him on with like half an hour to go. Still the game.
Yeah, I'd start him. But, I don't know. Because Tottenham are a weird team, man. Like, their ground as well is crazy. Like,
We drew there last time.
Yeah, was it the Alisson mistake right at the end? Or was that at Anfield? I can't remember.
No, he didn't. No,
No, where game... he like goes over the ball and they come out and score right at the end.
No, the one last season was when they scored. They scored at the, no, where Son scored last season and we drew at their ground last season.
Yeah, we drew. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but we won the season before, though. That pandemic.
Yeah, our record against Tottenham mainly is really good. It was 2-2 at their ground and 1-1 at Anfield.
Yeah, 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 that was it, that was it, that was it.
Yeah, so...
I don't know, like I said, bro, it depends what Liverpool turns up. If the Liverpool that played against Leeds turn up, we're going to get battered. If the Liverpool that played against Napoli, we might win. Or Man City, we might win. I can't call it, bro.
This is the thing, like... Predictions now and previews are actually interesting for us because before we'd just be like, oh yeah, we're going to win, we're confident 2-0. Yeah. But now it's like, we actually don't know. Like, anything could happen and we wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, literally.
So, literally. Yeah, it's not going to be an easy game. I don't see there being too many goals.
There will be. If Sanchez is playing, there'll be bare goals.
You reckon? Okay, fair enough. But we all know Konate's got to start. Zeus or Robert at left back?
Just because of the amount of games that each played, I'd put Robbo.
Yeah, because one thing I noticed from the Napoli game, again, I've said this a lot, both the goals did come originally from a Tsimikas cross.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably our best corner taker that we have.
Yeah, but you know what it is? I just don't want him to get injured.
Yeah, that's a good point, and
it's good because Robbo now, have you noticed, Robbo hasn't had a shit game in the last couple of weeks.
He's actually got so much better, recently.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because if he knows, if he puts a shit performance on, he'll get hooked.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's really good competition between them two. 100%. I think as well, the fact that Simi did start against Napoli does probably say that he's going to start.
I'm happy with that, though, because it gives, they both get into a room and, okay, right, I'm going to play this game, I'm not going to play this game. And he put in a good performance, I have to put in a good performance now. Like, if I don't, then he'll keep the spot. Because I think there's only two more games until the World Cup, isn't it?
Yeah, Southampton and Derby in the Cup.
This World Cup is a joke thing. But anyway, that's a topic for another conversation.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, mate, we're going to finish on some stories that have been going around the old social media recently. Declan Rice was linked with us yesterday, mate. Expert, someone that is seemingly reliable with Chelsea news, said that Liverpool are working hard to get Declan Rice next summer and have already begun the groundwork. What's your immediate thoughts on that, mate?
They're going to want stupid money for him.
See, I'm not sure because in the summer...
He just signed a new contract, didn't he?
No, in the summer, he's got a year left.
Oh, did he sign a new contract?
No. In the summer, he's got 1 year left on his deal. I'm pretty sure. I'm fairly confident. And just to touch on this, yes, 100%. 1,000,000% yes for me. What about you, Shiggs?
No.
Okay.
No, just because Fabinho can't hold it down the way he used to hold it down, man. He needs help in there. So they do that 4-3-3, open season for their midfield.
Okay, first. But going back to Rice, mate.
If he's only got one year left on his thing, what, 40 mil, 50 mil?
Nah, it will still be more than that, I think, because the problem is...
1 year left?
Yeah, team is going to cause a bidding war. So they'll if this link is true and reliable, that would be us in the race, Chelsea in the race. United probably, I don't know now, they've got Casemiro.
Yeah, but it depends on whether that bidding war only happens if the player... hasn't got a specific place that they want to go. If he says to them, I want to go to Liverpool, and they come in with a 50 mil bid, they have to take it because he's got a year left.
Yeah, I think he could be... It would still be a decent amount. I'd still probably say 60 mil. I still think it would be that.
Okay, do you think he's worth 60 mil?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't...
How old is he?
20... I don't want to get this wrong. Let me Google it. He is 23. So,
Okay, 60 mil.
To be honest, if you asked me this a year ago, I would have said, no, I don't want Declan Rice. Give me someone else. But Right, we've said so many times, seeing how Fabinho's fallen off, seeing how Henderson's fallen off. I think Declan Rice is the sort of player that we could potentially be looking at, or somebody of that style. I mean, do you remember how good he was against us a few weeks ago, mate? He was incredible. Yeah, best player on the pitch.
I would take him. You know why? Because then it would have a domino effect. Milner would leave, Henderson would take that Milner role, and then Rice would be the person that would take the Henderson role, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know why I thought he'd sign that contract.
I think Dee says he was holding out for 120 a week, but they didn't want to give him over 90, which is mad. Because if they just gave him another 30k, if that's what he wanted, they would have had him for a long, like, another it would have worked out years. Better for them, yeah. But now they've got to sell him, or they're going to lose him on a free, which I don't think West Ham can do, really. But, yeah, look, if Declan Rice is one of the midfielders...
He's a London boy, so he'll probably go Chelsea.
Yeah, I think he's a Chelsea fan as well. I'm still expecting him to go to Chelsea, to be fair. I think maybe they're just using our name for a bit of clout, you know, speed things up a bit. But, I think he'll still go to Chelsea. But it's interesting, if the report is true that, you know, we're potentially after a midfielder that is more, like you said, of that style, because... Mm. Obviously, Bellingham links, and again today that came up that we're still front runners for him. I think that will obviously depend on if we get top four.
Yeah.
But with Rice, I think that sort of player you could probably get if you don't finish top four. But I still think that, I think Chelsea have been working on this guy for a long, long time now. So
to replace Jorginho.
Yeah, and Kante. So I still expect him to go there. But if Liverpool signed Rice as one of the midfielders, because let's not kid ourselves, we need more than one, I'd be happy. But if they just got him as the only one, I'd be a bit annoyed. Kev says, Ben, will Liverpool get finish in the top five? Mate, we're getting top four. Shiggs has played it down. We're still getting top four. Newcastle will fall off. United will fall off. All these teams above us, they haven't had their bad spell yet. So, listen, these teams aren't going to keep up until the end. The only thing, obviously, Newcastle have probably got, like, so much money that they can just go and invest in January. United probably might do something. But I just, you know, these guys haven't had that spell yet where they get multiple losses in a month. So, when it comes, obviously, we've got to be on our game and we've got to take chances, because Chelsea literally lost to Brighton. I was watching the game on the way to the Leeds game on my phone, laughing at Chelsea losing to Brighton. I said to my brother, like, this is actually shaping up for us to lose, isn't it? Everyone else around us in the table dropping points, because I think Bournemouth will be in Spurs at this point as well. Yeah. And then obviously we go and lose. So very frustrating. It's comic. So obviously the main thing that we need to do is when other teams lose or drop points, we need to make sure we're on our game. Dal says, after hearing Drake's song, I'm very confident of Arsenal falling off. That Drake album, I turned it off after three songs, mate. Absolute trash. Drake's a pop star now. If you get Rice, you'll get... Why have I even put that comment? Kev, you're a troll, man. But like I just mentioned previously, Jude Bellingham is the front runner of... Liverpool are the front runners, reportedly, for Bellingham. Again, it will depend on if we get top four or not. There is absolutely no way Jude Bellingham signs for Liverpool if we don't get top four. So, and top four as well is massive for FSG, because the money that we bring in as a club for qualifying for the Champions League is pretty much what they rely on putting back into the club. So we have to get top four. If not, then I'm afraid to say these issues are going to get worse before they get better, because the investment will get even less. And you know, players will probably want to leave that are above the Europa League, so it would get a bit sticky. But listen, I'm still confident as ever that we're going to get top four. I don't know what else there is to talk about. I think we put a poll out a minute ago saying, if you could choose two new midfielders, which pair out of the two would you sign? And the options are Bellingham and Lima, or Rice and Madison. I'm going to ask Shiggs that question when he comes back. But I'm not going to lie, I'd actually go Rice and Madison. This Konrad Lima guy, I've looked at his injury record, and let me know in the comments, by the way, which option you choose. But he just fits in with what we already have. Like, he's injured as we speak, I think. So he's still getting linked with us. It's very strange, because he's injury prone. But Bellingham, we all know, generational player.
Do you think that's actually going to happen?
What, Bellingham?
Yeah.
If we get top four, yeah.
Okay. Because they're saying that they want Naby Keita, innit?
Oh, listen, mate. Naby has to go.
Yeah.
Naby. This is so... I never thought I'd say these words. Naby has to go. Right, he's not in training again today. No. I don't think he's injured. I think they're just holding him to sell in January and they don't want him to get injured. Has Naby Keita been injured this season? Yes, obviously he has. He's Naby, like, this is what happens. But he's barely played recently. He tried to push for a move in the summer with a year on his contract. Liverpool aren't playing him when he's back. I don't know, man. I think they're just trying to protect him so he can leave in the January window, maybe get like 10 million for him or something. But it will be a sad day for me, one of my favourite players leaving the club. But I've always said the club comes first, and, you know, these injury-prone players are holding us back. And obviously, Thiago, I kind of have an exception for him because when he plays, he's just different gravy to anyone I've seen apart from Steven Gerrard, Xabi Alonso. Right. Naby, really good player. I love the guy. Always had a big soft spot for him. But come on, his availability is what's been a problem for many years. Like, if you had Naby available for 80% of the season,
then you'd be a one of the best.
But unfortunately, it's just not happened. But Shiggs, we're just talking about a poll that we put out on Twitter. We'll finish the podcast on this, mate. If you could choose two new midfielders, which pair out of these would you go for? Bellingham and Konrad Laimer, or Declan Rice and James Maddison?
Oh, come on, Bellingham and Rice.
Really? Because I said the other one, bro.
Really? Nah, man. We need goals from midfield, man.
Sorry, it was Bellingham and Laimer or Rice and Maddison?
Oh, no, Bellingham and Laimer. I'm not taking Maddison. I don't rate him.
You don't rate Maddison?
No, he goes missing when you really need Maddison, he goes missing.
I think Maddison, if we carry on playing the way we're playing right now, I think he'd slot in at that right centre mid spot like an absolute glove, to be honest.
You really think so?
Yeah, obviously, you lose that defensive. I guess, if you're going to do that, you may as well just play Harvey Elliott there. But
because Bellingham can do both, bro.
Yeah, no, the Bellingham. But the problem is, I don't want Konrad Laimer.
Yeah, I know, but for me, you lose more than you gain with Maddison. You lose more not having Bellingham than you gain with having Maddison. Bellingham is captain of Dortmund. He's been captain of captain Dortmund.
Yeah,
How old is he? 21, 22.
Even that, bro. He's 19.
Bro, come on. The character to do that. And Dortmund are not a small team, bro. And you're captain. That shows levels about your character.
Yeah, no. I want Bellingham at all costs. Like, he's the one, but I don't want Laimer. And that was the question.
Yeah, no. I'd suffer Laimer for Bellingham all day.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. But I looked at Conor Lima's injury record, and he'd fit us anyway because he's always injured. But,
there you go.
Dal says, I saw a team on Twitter today with Xabi Alonso and Thiago in a double pivot with Steve. Oh my gosh! Imagine what could have been. I mean, that would be the most perfect midfield. The way Jude can play left wing and centre mid, he's essentially Curtis Jones with 10 times technique and a Brummy accent.
There you go.
I don't think 10 times. I think Bellingham
is... 10 times, but he
no, would add more to the team. I'd say more.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Bellingham's special. Like, let's not kid ourselves. Whatever team gets Jude Bellingham,
they're in for a treat.
The best for 10 years. Like, that's a fact. And you get these edgy people on social media that seem to play him down and don't really rate him. Like, it doesn't make you cool to not rate a 19-year-old. Like, Bellingham's special, right? And like I said, if we get top four, I think he'll sign, because this is the guy that this club have been putting all their eggs into. There's been too much talk, and there's been too much, like, it seems like they've been planning it behind the scenes year after year, not signing a centre mid leading up to this moment. So now if this guy doesn't sign for the club, I said it that when we didn't sign a centre mid last season, I was prepared to say, okay, fine, we'll wait for Bellingham as long as you go and get Bellingham. If you wait and you don't get Bellingham and we sacrifice not signing a centre mid last summer for a player that's not even signing for our club, then there's a big issue. And then I'll call the manager, the owners, everyone. But for now, let's just see what happens. You know, all these links are going to keep coming in. Let's hope that we sign one in January, because I think if we did that, that would be a huge boost for the rest of the season. Maybe the Moises Caicedo thing's still alive. Maybe we've still been talking about
him.
That.
And if we was to get Bellingham and Moises Caicedo, I'm a god.
My issue with Caicedo, and just before we finish, he's only played 20 Premier League games, but you can see the
potential is there.
You can't deny that. But guys, that's going to be it for this TAT pod. Hope you have enjoyed it. We've covered pretty much about everything. Make sure you smash the like button and subscribe to the channel, because we're still trying to get 300 subscribers, so it would mean a lot if you could do that. And we'll be back after the Tottenham game to talk about it. And hopefully the Reds can follow up the Napoli win with another big 3 points.
Please, God.
So take care, guys. I will see you next time.
See you later.